In order for us to prepare for our studies this morning, we will pause for a few moments of silent prayer. You may use that time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for yet another opportunity to delve into your immutable word, to glean from it those things that are so important for us to have in our inventory of ideas. It is our prayer that what we do here today will contribute to that advance as we lift our prayer in the name of Christ, our Savior. In our studies, we're in document number 17. We're on page 166, and when we closed out our studies last Sunday, we made it down to James chapter 5, verse 12. And here's how that reads in the NET Bible. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, that's the present active imperative of prohibition of the verb omnimi, either by heaven or by earth, or by any other oath. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall into judgment. Point 13. The verbal reversionism is interrupted by verse 12, and we have a parenthesis. In the parenthesis, we see that not all suffering is for discipline. Not all suffering is punitive. In this particular passage, we have a short dissertation on the fact. Namely, if you are suffering, it doesn't mean that you wake up and go positive to doctrine. It may be that you're growing up and need some suffering for blessing in order to advance in your spiritual growth. This is the devil's world. There are things that are out there. There are people primarily. People that you know, people you're related to, people with whom you associate, and they have sin natures. They have in their souls a lot of things going on as well as you do. They may be relatives. There may be those with whom you work, those in your neighborhood. Then there are the strangers. Then there are those that have power over you, and that would be, for example, governmental authorities. So I've learned how to drive. I have been stopped before. And, of course, I understand that I have violated the speed laws around here. And there's speed laws everywhere you go. But I know that when the lights go on in the rearview mirror that I pull over and understand that I have violated some speed law and I'm going to have a conversation. And in the conversation, this guy will hand me pieces of paper, and the pieces of paper will instruct me on the kinds of things I have to do in order to not have people of authority visit me. So when I drive down the road, I understand that these are the chances I take. So when I see the lights go on, those guys are doing their job. And so I'm very, very patient with them, because if you're not patient with them, it could get a lot worse in a hurry. So there are things you can do in order to stay out of a lot of trouble. So you're very courteous to the policeman or the highway patrol fellow, and he's doing his job. And so I haven't gotten to the point when it's all over with. I've never said to one of these fellows, "You're doing a great job." But he was doing a great job. What we have is the devil's world. And there are a lot of things that can occur in your life that will involve other people. It can involve situations. and it creates stress because of the circumstances. And that's because this is the devil's world. It's not the millennium yet. So you orient and adjust to that. So we have this situation in our life where verbal reversionism is interrupted by verse 12. And we have a parenthesis. In the parenthesis, we see that not all suffering is for discipline. Not all suffering is punitive. In this particular passage, we have a short dissertation on the fact. For example, if you are suffering, it doesn't mean that you wake up and go positive to doctrine. It may be that you're growing up and you need some suffering for blessing in order to advance in your spiritual growth. These things are necessary and they're good. And there are a lot of things that occur in life that put you in an area of discipline that you might refer to it as, because you need to advance in your spiritual growth, which would require you to access doctrine and therefore its application. If you don't have any doctrine, then you get mad. You shouldn't get mad, because these situations quite often are designed to instruct you. And therefore, there's discipline that comes to you as far as your opinion is concerned, but simply it has to do with the milieu of the devil's world. These things occur. And you need to see, if you're put in a stressful situation, if you can use doctrine instead of, let's just say, coming unwound. Use the doctrine. And you therefore can grow in grace by utilizing divine viewpoint to work through the issue. And as a result of that, you gain some information that is applicable to your current circumstance and therefore how you can use your inventory to work through it. And that inventory is very important. So here's the concept. If you are suffering, it doesn't mean that you wake up and go positive to doctrine. It may be that you're growing up and you need some suffering for blessing in order for you to continue your spiritual growth. Not all difficulty is meant for punitive measures. They're giving you the opportunity to recall what you know and therefore make application from the situation in which you find yourself and see how that works for you through the application of the doctrine you know. Or you're being instructed in biblical circumstances, concepts and ideas, even doctrines, that give you the information on how to best handle the similar situation in the future. In other words, difficulties are very important. You grow from them. Don't get upset. It is what it is. Make the best of it. And the best of it is you figure out how to make good decisions from a position of strength, not from a position of weakness. And verse 10 and 11 in our passage, we have parentheses to set up a contrast. Contrast between suffering for discipline, the super grace believer suffering, the growing believer suffering on the one hand, and the reversionist suffering on the other. And it all depends on who you are biblically. When there is suffering in circumstances, sometimes it's designed to show you how to use doctrine in a difficult situation. It's a growth process. Now use what you know to make application and learn from it. There are times when you are, let's just call it, deviated from standards that you knew better about. And that deviation, therefore, has created a circumstance. And that circumstance, therefore, is a learning curve. There may be something about which you do not know, and then you violate a standard. You are called a task on it. Doesn't have to be a police, it has to be those in authority over you or the circumstances you face. You can face a circumstance. not necessarily what you wanted on that particular day, but now you've got it, it's in your face, and you have to deal with it. And can you do it with doctrine, or are you going to whine? It could be something new you need to learn how to deal with. How do you do that? You do it with establishment viewpoint and doctrinal viewpoint, if you've got it. So it's a discipline if you don't know what the problem-solving devices are. It's encouragement when you know what to do. And when you know what to do, it's either establishment, I get my mind right about that, or it's biblical information that I know and therefore need to apply and keep moving. So you see in verse 9 of our passage, we have reversionists suffering. Verse 9, reversionist divine discipline. Verse 10 and 11, suffering for blessing, which is the super grace suffering or the growing believer suffering. These two verses are best understood by considering them within parentheses. And we'll see that, and I'll see if I think I have, oh, it's on the next page, and we'll get to that and review it. Then we go to verse 12 and pick up again, reversionism and divine discipline for verbal reversionism leading to divine discipline. Here and now, the printouts, here are how the printouts look in James 5, 9 in three English versions, followed by an expanded translation, which will be the King James Version. James 5, 9. So we have James 5, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Stuck in the middle of that is a parenthesis. And you got to recognize the fact there's a parenthesis there in order to understand the passage. And if you don't, then you'd be confused. We're not going to be confused. But we've got these four verses, and we've got to work our way through it. New American Standard, James 5, 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge, that's a capital J, standeth before the door. You know who the judge is. The judge is Jesus Christ. James 5, 9 in the New International Version. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door all day long. That was NIV. Next is the NET Bible. That's the New English Translation. Do not grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be judged. See, the judge stands before the gates. That's an expanded translation. That comes in James 5, 9, so it's expanded. So here's how it sounds. Stop criticizing. Present active imperative. That's imperative mood number 45 of prohibition of the verb me stenazo, members of the royal family of God, against others, fellow believers, so that, that's hina, so that you yourselves will not be judged, that's the negative me, plus the aorist passive subjunctive of the verb krino. Then the judge, that's Jesus, keeps standing, intensive, perfect indicative of the verb histemi. So he keeps standing in the past with the result that he keeps standing before the doors. Now that's the expanded translation. Now, depending upon which Bible you've got, door can be singular or plural. So how they made up their mind that it was singular or plural, I don't know. But it varied with the translations. And I decided I would go with a translation of doors. It doesn't matter, but it's got to be one or the other. Who's standing before the door? When the door opens, it's going to be the Lord. And what He is allowing you to do is to grow in grace in one of two ways. You can grow in grace way one. You don't know what you're doing. You're fouling up everything you do. Things are going south on you, and you need to learn some doctrine. And that's a good thing. Otherwise, it can be different. It can be that you are in a situation where you need to be able to learn how to make good decisions from a position of power. And you can only do that with Bible doctrine. You have to have an ability to recall what you know, evaluate the situation, and then make the application. And when you do that, Jesus Christ doesn't have to open the door. Nevertheless, all day long, every day, He stands at the door. I thought you'd like that part. Biblical authorities, as you are, showing up with riveted attention. Nevertheless, the concept in these four verses plugged into the middle is the idea that you need to learn how to make good decisions from a position of biblical power. And if you don't have the power, then you're going to go on a learning curve. And that's what's in these four verses, 9, 10, 11, and 12. Okay, 9 is okay, and then 10 and 11 scrunched together in a package. And that's where the problems are. At this point, verse 10 begins with the disordering of the text. The translations by the New American Standard, New International Version, the New English Translation correct this problem. The word order in the English of the King James Version is not correct in this passage. In verse 10, we see how it is changed. The New American Standard is cited first, followed by the King James Version. So follow at the end of every verse what translation we've got under consideration. James 5:10. As an example, brethren, of suffering, we have kaka patheia, and existing patience, makrothumeo, that means take, aorist active imperative mood of number 46 of the imperative moods of the verb lambano, the prophets. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord, New American Standard. Then we want to go to the King James Version for verse 10. Take, aorist active imperative mood, number 46 of the verb lambano, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example, who, paradigma, of suffering, aorist active imperative mood, number 46 of the verb lambano, this is affliction and of patience. That's the King James Version. Now let's get some points on all of this. This verse's English translation begins in verse 10 where things change. Take means to receive here. Aorist active imperative of lambano, to receive something. This refers to the believer who is positive toward doctrine, who is growing spiritually while constructing an edification complex of the soul, and therefore advancing into super grace. The more you study the Word of God, the larger your inventory of ideas begins to enlarge, and therefore you're able to grow in grace. So it's a process. And so there are some things that can occur in your life that you understand basically, but do not understand the application of it. You haven't grown to the point where you can take that and say, this is applicable for me, and this is what I'm expected to do in this context. Now, these four verses are very important, and it's going to take a while to flesh them out. But we've got a problem here that needs to be resolved. The problem is we got verse number 9, and then 10 and 11, and then 12. And so you got to look at 9 and 12 and look at it as one thing. And then smushed in the middle are two verses. And what's smushed in the middle are things that you need to know. And it's one concept. Actually, it's a collection of things, but all wrapped up into one concept. Do you understand this? Do you understand what goes before 9 and what comes after 12? And smushed in the middle, we have this idea, collection of ideas, really. So when we understand that there's a parenthesis jammed in the middle of this, it's going to be a learning curve. So we have this process. So to repeat, this verb begins the verse. It is the aorist, active, imperative mood, number 46 of the verb lambano, to receive something, which refers to the prophets. Now, we're in the Old Testament, and this is James, and he's the first guy to write New Testament theology. What do people know when James is around? And Jude, for that matter. They're brothers, half-brothers of Jesus. They have the ability to sit down and write concepts and ideas communicated to them by the Holy Spirit, and they write it down. And in doing so, they are providing the first glimmer of divine viewpoint for the church age. It's very important, therefore, what they write. That's going to be in the Koine Greek. When they get it written down, then it's distributed throughout the area. People begin to read it. They can even communicate with him because James, at least, I don't know about Jude's church, if he had one. Gary can go over that on a Wednesday. But James has got a church in Jerusalem, and they can ask him questions. A lot of the things that James is writing about has to do with what he observes among the parishioners of his local church. And they can come to him and ask questions, and he's happy to respond. There are those who will misbehave, and that's normal because they don't know anything. What if your first day out in anything? You've decided to go somewhere and see what a guy's got to say about something. And then as you listen to it, you don't really understand everything he's got to say. And you go up and ask him, when you said thus and so, what's the what for about that? And then the guy can say, well, it's because of this, that, and the other thing. And then you can say, well, I don't believe that. And you have certainly are free to do that. It's called free will. So when you go into a Bible study, you have free will. You can take it or you can leave it, and that's the way it has to be. Because there's two things. There's a communication. There you go. It's hanging right out there for you, and you can take it or leave it. Now, it's okay if you don't understand, because you just can't get divine viewpoint on a first hearing. Holy Spirit can give you some of it, but this brand new stuff for you, you need to have application. What are the wherefores with regard to what I've just heard? So you have to have a relaxed mental attitude when you go to Bible class. That's it. If you don't understand something, that's okay. Come back next time. So he is commanded here to take, to receive an example. Huperdigma. Huperdigma is the word here, which means an example. So here in the middle of verse 10, it is at the beginning of the sentence in the New American Standard's translation that begins with this translation in verse 10. As an example, hupodigma, brethren, of suffering, kakapathia. And kakapathia means patience. And then the word take, aorist active imperative mood number 46 of the verb lambano. take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. You can also see two translations, the New American Standard and the King James Version translations, if you're interested. Now, in this context, we have believers growing in the status of suffering for blessing. Why is suffering for blessing good? Because you need to go through a situation where doctrine is going to resolve the issue. It's something that you need to understand is necessary for you to grow in grace. This is an advantage when you run into something you don't understand, because you've always thought A, and now you've been introduced to B, and you don't know why you need to change your mind. Well, there's a context here. And therefore, you come to Bible class, and you begin to learn the context of a given passage or just a verse itself. And what does it mean? How does it apply to me? And I never thought of that. And that's why the relaxed mental attitude in a Bible class is so important. Now, I remember the colonel railing from the pulpit in the days I was down there. He would say, you need to have a relaxed mental attitude. You're not going to get all of this the first day out. Just keep coming back. Over time, all of the what's and wherefores will be filled in, and therefore you will better understand this passage and what it means to you, and this data in there that you can use to make good decisions from a position of absolute truth rather than wondering whether you're ahead or behind. Just keep coming back. So in this context, we have believers growing in the status of suffering for blessing. And see, I want to emphasize this. Suffering for blessing is a good thing. There are things that occur in the devil's world and in your life constantly going on around you. And you have to make decisions based on things you probably don't understand. And therefore, you can become a whiner. This happened to me today. Stand up straight, inhale, and say, I'll get through this. I don't have a lot of doctrine, but this I do know. In time, I will understand it with clarity and be able to make better decisions than I am making today. And keep moving. You're right in the middle of the angelic conflict. Live with it. So I want to repeat five. In this context, we have believers growing in the status of suffering for blessing. We have the noun kakapathia. The prefix kakas means evil, but it doesn't mean to suffer evil. Here it means to endure affliction. Endure it, because when you have to endure affliction, there are things to learn in order to avoid it in the future. Endure it. Learn from it. Be patient so that the circumstances that you're facing presently could occur again, and you're going to build an inventory of how to deal with that. Suffering for blessing. The suffix pathos refers to suffering. In the context, kakos doesn't mean to suffer evil. Here it means to endure affliction. Don't whine about something. You've got a learning curve available to you. Learn from it. Therefore, those in this context are members of the royal family of God and are enduring evidence testing. What is evidence testing? You're getting evidence before the throne of God on how to deal with an uncomfortable circumstance. Learn from that. Do you have any doctrine to deal with it? Probably not. But when you're filled with the Holy Spirit and positive to the Word of God, and something comes up in a passage and it allows you to see something that you, first of all, did not understand, and secondly, now that you've got a glimmer of it, what are you going to do with it? Always be positive. When there's something negative in a context, you're in a situation where you need to desire to learn from that so you can deal with it with more alacrity in the future. Always have a relaxed mental attitude. And it's hard to do in the hostile environment of the devil's world, but nevertheless, this is where you are, and you can't get out except from dying, and then it's all over with. Kaka pathaya. The prefix kakas means evil, but it doesn't mean to suffer evil. Here it means to endure affliction. The suffix pathas refers to suffering in this context. Kakas doesn't mean to suffer evil. Here it means to endure affliction, to endure it. See that? Why does the scripture say endure this affliction? Why? So you can learn from it. You've got to be able to manage the things that occur in the devil's world, and you need to have doctrine in order to do that, because it's not going to change. The environment's fallen, and you're in it, and you do not have the inventory of ideas necessary to make a good decision from a position of power because you're dumb. I'm going to teach you, says James in this context. Therefore, those in this context are members of the royal family of God who are enduring evidence testing. Evidence testing. Can you present evidence before the throne room of God that you can deal with circumstances that give you problems from the get-go? And you learn from those. This is the devil's world, and when you orient and adjust to that, you'll eventually get to the point of saying, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am in a hostile environment. It's always going to be that way until the Lord puts a stop to it. And in the meantime, I have an inventory of ideas I can consult, inculcate, consider, and apply. Over time, I'll pull in a huge inventory of these biblical absolutes, and I can resolve all of this static that comes from every angle, and I, therefore, am a potential winner if I can learn doctrine and apply it, and I'm in the midst of doing that. So stay erect and keep moving. The suffix pathos refers to suffering again. In this context, kakas doesn't mean to suffer evil. Here it means to endure affliction, endure it. Stiff upper lip. And we got these four verses, and stuck in the middle is a parenthesis. On the edges, good stuff. In the middle, not so good. Learn from that. In studying this verse, we're going to follow the word order of the Greek text rather than the King James versions, whose word order of verse 10 above is actually inverted. James 5:10a. As an example, we have hupotigma. As an example, brethren, of suffering, kaka pathaya, and exercising patience, makrothumeo. That's James 5:10a. Makrothumeo also refers to spending doctrine. You can't spend what you don't have. Okay. If you can jingle around and see if you got any change and any folding money. So right then you've got that much money. You say, well, I've got other money in the bank or something like that. Yes, but you have to do things to get it out of the bank. They just don't bring it to your house. And you have to have like an account. And you have to have all these things lined up so that to get money in the bank, it's got to be your money, and they're happy to say, well, this seems to be your money, and we'll put it in a place over here. And you can get it out under certain circumstances. And so you can go get the money, but you have to be able to convince them you are who you are, and you're there to get your stuff. What if you had to keep up with all your money? Anyone? You have to keep up with it. Where are you going to put it in your house? How much money do you make a month? You want it in dollar bills? You want it in gold and silver? folding money. That's why we have banks. Makrothumeo also refers to spending doctrine. You can't spend what you don't have. Therefore, if their whole idea is to grow in grace, go to Bible class, learn from the Word of God, which is immutable, aggrandize that thought into a path of least resistance for easy recall and application, that's called growing in grace. And when you get started in this whole process, you're pecking away at a little bit here and a little bit there, and therefore pull some things together here, and you've forgotten the other. And you keep coming back to boring Bible classes. And you have to be bored at the very beginning to gut through the idea of this is a broad subject called the Word of God. There are nuances. There are doctrines. There are principles. There are this, that, and the other things. And you have got to wade through all of that and be patient and therefore come to the conclusion, it turns out I don't know nothing. And that's an honest assessment. And you keep coming back. Makrothumeo refers to spending doctrine. Doctrine in your soul is capital. You think going to work and them cutting you a check at the end of the month, that's where the money is. There are people in the devil's world who are going to get your money. And you have to know how to keep them from doing so. Now you make your decisions. I've decided that I want an Spanish Suiza. I don't know if you can get one of those in this neck. Do you ever sell one of those? Well, I understand it's a really nice automobile. And you don't just go in there and say, I'd like to have that car right there and I'd like to drive it off here in a minute. They say, well, how many bank accounts do you have? You say, well, I have two or three. How much do you want for the thing? And they would say, a bank full. If you got a bank full, then we can get it, you have that car and you can drive it out today. How about this? What if the pastor gets up in a pulpit and says to the people in the congregation, I'm going to tell y'all things today that if you buy into it and you take little pieces at a time over a long period, then it's going to aggrandize your ability to someday, potentially, if you're interested, buy yourself an Spanish Suiza. You can do that. If you come in here and sit down and shut up and fake it till you make it. Then there may come a day where you don't want to spend that much money on driving around. What is it you want the money for? God will give you the money, but then you have free will. He's going to let you decide how to spend it. And do you know how to spend money that would be honorable to him? Well, no, I'd just be spending on what I want. What if it's not advantageous to you personally? Or even more so, is it the kind of thing that you ought to be having in your life? Just asking. Just asking. Makrothumeo refers to spending doctrine. You can't spend what you don't have. That's why we have Bible classes. So we're in a client nation. What does a client nation mean, by the way? Maybe I should teach the doctrine of a client nation because I think we've lost touch with that. We are still a client nation, but in decline. We're being conquered by people who, if asked questions, could not respond lucidly. Yet they're running the show. And they have the power to mess up your life on a daily basis, and they've been doing so for well into the fourth year. Who are these guys? Jesus Christ is standing at the door. At some point, he's going to come in, And what are you going to do about it? You're going to stand fast and keep coming to Bible class and inculcating absolute principles, pulling everything together in a host of doctrines for recall and application. And there's nothing new about client nations falling. There's a history behind that, and it's called loss of thought. Notice there are two things here. There's a situation of suffering. There's a doctrine so you can cope with it. If you'll flip in your binder and go to document 18, and you see those page numbers there, you know why there are page numbers there? Because of the guru of the voodoo. The guru had to come to my rescue last night. And the documents that you've got, do you see these little places where there's red ink? I don't know why, but I would be working on a 10-page document, and all of a sudden I realized that all of these verses were all in red ink, where a lot of places should have black ink. And I'd fix that. This would be somewhere around, let's say, midnight. And I'd work and work and work, and then I'd go back, and then I'd find out all these verses are all in red, and bold-faced for that matter. Now, where'd this come from? So I'd go back to the very top, and there they is, glowing, all red, blazing. I'd fix that. I'd go back, and before I know it, all the rest of them are blazing. I'd fix them. And I fixed, and I fixed, and I fixed, and finally I got to the very end of everything. And it's time for me to send it out to Dennis back there. He sends it out to the guru, the people in the Guruville. Couldn't send it. It's all a mess. It's scrambled. All the words are there, but there's no structure. Well, you say, not much of what you do has structure. But nevertheless, I do give it a go, and it has some color codes along the way that help out, hopefully. And nothing was working. So finally, I wrote Paul an email, and I said, here's a document. It's over at number 18. Here's a document that I've worked on, but I can't keep it like smashed together like I normally do. And you're going to have to take a look at this and see if you can figure out what's going on. I couldn't figure it out. And see, we've got a passage where you have a verse and then crammed into a parenthesis of two verses, and then you come out on the other side. And so you need to be able to distinguish the two in the middle from the two on the edges, one top and one bottom. Got to be able to see that. And we know, I keep talking, we're probably not going to get there, but the point is, it's all in here. Now, because Paul is a voodoo, has a voodoo back there. And so I'm looking at all this, and I'm just saying, it's calf rope, I can't do this. And there was no pagination, because I hadn't done that yet. And finally, when I got through all of that, and having done it three or four times, I wrote Paul and said, you need to take a look at this and see if you can get it to just be one thing as a document. You take this and see what you can do with it. But, I said to him, I haven't done pagination, and I'm afraid to do it, because if I touch one more key on this thing, everything's going to go red. So guess what? Being the guru, he was able to figure this out, and you've got the document here. See the page numbers? See? I would never have done that. And if I had done it, then everything would have been a mess, because I am no good at this. And so the reason I'm mentioning that is that when you're trying to get information into a computer and have it stay exactly the way you want it, and it doesn't stay there, that day, all of a sudden the gurus come in, not the guru, but the gurus from the dark side, come in and just mess with it. All of a sudden, you go back to the first, and there's it all red, glowing like neon. I just hollered calf rope, and I told Paul, I said, if you can figure this out, please do your best. But I'm afraid to try to do pagination. That's going to be the biggest mess you've ever seen, and it would have been. So why am I telling you this? There are circumstances that you can run into that you never dreamed would happen on a given day, and you're going to be up until 2:15 trying to figure this out. That's when I went to bed this morning, trying to figure all of this out. And I would still be sitting there were it not for the guru back there. And the document that you would have will be the biggest mess you ever saw. And that's real pretty, and it has page numbers. I've been at this for over 38 years. Yeah. And you'd think that I'd learned something in 38 years. No. You ain't got a guru, you ain't got nothing. So, if you, in your prayers, you ought to put down somewhere, an old father, please remember the guru. Take the example that it isn't suffering for discipline in verse 9. That is a reversionist. But now we go to a person who has doctrine. What does he do when he suffers? That guy can spend his doctrine. You can't spend what you don't know. Take the example, therefore, that it isn't suffering for discipline in verse 9. That is a reversionist. But now we go to a person who has doctrine. What does he do when he suffers? He spends doctrine. You can't spend what you don't know. The first person is minus doctrine. Divine discipline minus doctrine means suffering for discipline, which is punitive suffering. The second is blessing in suffering. So we have blessing, suffering here, verse 10, but punitive suffering there. Now, we just had in verse 9 punitive suffering. Now we switch. When a person has money in the bank, he can meet the situation. When a person has doctrine in the soul, he can meet the situation while suffering by spending his doctrinal inventory. Principal, members of the royal family of God with doctrinal capital take advantage of endurance in suffering and spend their doctrinal capital in the spiritual life. You can't spend what you don't have. And that is the tale that's being told presently in client nation America. This is a process in which the believer in Jesus Christ has to buy into the fact that he is dumb as a post. Even better, dumb as a stump. Stump's got root system, but you've cut it off. Now, you get little things that spurt out every now and then, but you don't have big old trees big around as this pulpit here. You've got a stump. So who are these people who decided they don't need the consistency of showing up at Bible class on a consistent basis, growing a huge oak tree in their souls and don't need that, and they're not being entertained enough? And somebody, I saw something on TV the other day about a bunch of people that were in a church and they were playing some kind of an organ somewhere. It was not visible, but somebody was playing an organ. And this guy jumped up like pretend he was in this room right now, and he would jump up here and jump up right up here and do the boogaloo right there. And everybody's cheering. Now, I don't think there was one solid soul in that auditorium that was sitting back in the back saying, "Oh, Lord Jesus, What is going on here? But everybody was having a grand time. My job is to see if I can sort things out for all y'all, all the few of you. Can I be boring enough to where you can fight through the boredom and get some doctrine? And it doesn't matter about me. I'm not the issue. You're the issue. Where to leave off, Henry? Wow. Did I read that principle? I think I need to say that again. Principle. Members of the royal family of God with a doctrinal capital, take advantage of endurance and suffering and spend your doctrinal capital in the spiritual life. Then in verse 10, James mentions the Old Testament prophets, the communicators comparable to the gift of pastor teacher in the church age. The text identifies these communicators by the nominative masculine plural of the relative pronoun hos, indicating once again that God provides the gift of communication to men. And these men are said to, quote, have spoken. That's the aorist active indicative of the verb laleo. It means to communicate and to teach and have done so in the name of the Lord. So why does James use these Old Testament prophets as his illustration? Well, they were communicators. They knew doctrine. They had earned the respect of the Jewish people. If they didn't have doctrine, they could not communicate truth. Therefore, the newly introduced communicators had the spiritual gifts of either evangelist or pastor teacher. Either evangelist or pastor teacher. And these new communicators had become fast learners. They quickly developed an edification complex of the soul. They had accrued plus happiness in its mentality. And they had the gift of communication. Most importantly, they had facilitated doctrine in their streams of consciousness. This is why they make such good illustration. Out on the stump, they often face great adversity, but this adversity was not hitting the mule over the head with a board. This adversity was not discipline. This adversity gave them a chance to spend some of that doctrine they were communicating. With their communication gift, they could spend doctrine on behalf of fellow Jews and even Gentiles, by which they could apply in their adversarial challenges. Adversarial is the word. And when you spend doctrine in adversity, you are undergirded by happiness in the soul. And this problem-solving device comes up next in James 5:11. We count those blessed who endured. You've heard of the endurance of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. Time to stop, have tea and crumpets, and see you back here at about 10 till the hour at point 22.